So good morning. Great to see you all again. And so we are back on practicing the way. So I think it is all around this sort of transformation and restoration that God does in our lives. Like I say, discipleship or apprenticeship, being a student, all of these kind of things, Scripture is vitally important, the Bible. And I'm extra pleased to be able to talk about the Bible, because some of you may know, I might have told you this story before, but I actually became a Christian by reading the Bible. And this is the very Bible itself that I keep. So so when I was about 10 or 12 or something, I got this. It was new then. And I used to lie in bed, and I started at Genesis 1, chapter 1, and I read a chapter or so every night. So it took two or three years, but I very much remember reading in Matthew and about Christ's crucifixion and just God really impacting my life through that. So it is very special to me, and I'm sure to you as well. So in everything that I say this morning about Scripture and how we engage with it, it's always in the context of, you know, our walk and the Holy Spirit really bringing the Word alive to us and using it and being part of our walk. It's not just read for academic purposes, although you can do that. But what we're talking about today is his place in our lives as disciples and as we move along. There's so much we could have said, or I could say about it, but I'm trying to just frame it into our lives as disciples. So that's kind of where I want to start. So this is a familiar passage. I kind of lay it out in the way that it kind of, I like the flow of things and structure and stuff like that, so you may have seen me lay this out before. So this is where Jesus has died, he's resurrected, and he's re-engaged with the disciples there right at the end. So he's there, he meets with them on the mountain, and this is what he says. So Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples from all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you all the days until the completion of the age." So this idea of disciple making, or our own lives becoming disciples, stems, you know, from this, the Great Commission is quite often called. So Jesus says to go. The reason he wants us and them to go is to make disciples from all the nations. How do we do that? Well, the first thing he says is you need to baptize them. So that's that recognition that people have come to believe in Jesus, and the symbol of baptism is where we kind of welcome people into the family of God. But we don't just leave people there. We're not left at that point. There's this very important thing around then. There's teaching to observe all that I've commanded you. And again, with that promise that Jesus is with us to the end of the age by his Holy Spirit. So teaching and Scripture very much are needed. You know, all the series that we were looking at, where all of that teaching is coming from the Bible, it must always be biblical based, and that's always our test of truth. So we're going to look at kind of some of the whys, the wherefores, and then again at the end we'll just finish with just some of my thoughts around some practical ways of applying that or engaging with Scripture. And again, I would just say, you know, when you have your small groups or just having a chat after, you know, maybe discuss some of your own top tips as well and how you can engage or you like to engage with Scripture. So I want to pick up again on the importance of the Holy Spirit. So vitally important, you know, because we could just consume scripture, we could just read it and just for its own sake. But really it's the importance of that Holy Spirit again. So in John 14:26 it says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have said to you." So the creation of Scripture was brought about by the Holy Spirit reminding the disciples, and that's in its widest group, the things that Jesus has said. So we've got those recorded. But also for our day as well, you know, as we read Scripture and we consume it into our knowledge bank, it's the Holy Spirit that then will bring it out at the right time when we need to do it. And we'll look at that some more in a minute. So I've got a couple of diagrams. So this was the first one that I kind of came up with. So if you're listening on the podcast, this would be an interesting one to try and talk you through. I've got an alternative one that I'll show you. So this was my first thoughts. So it's recognizing that we are in the world, you know, we're physically here, you know, we're in this hall, we live where we live, we work where we work, but that's in a broken world. You know, we're broken beings because of the fall, where we've moved away from God, but we're in that position, and there's a danger in that, you know. So prior to knowing Christ and being in the kingdom of God, our eyes and our ears and our senses, we are absorbing everything from our environment, from the world that we're in. So if that's broken, we're absorbing it into our broken bodies. Surprise, surprise, our minds are shaped by the world. You know, that's that environment that we're in. And then our thoughts and our beliefs that can come from the world then result in our actions, and those actions then have consequences or effects. So when I first thought of that, well, we don't want to be like that. You know, we want to be those that, you know, maybe look away from that completely. And we, you know, we're in the kingdom of God. So we want the kingdom of God to be what we're absorbing, what's affecting our minds, and hence our actions and our effects. But I thought that was probably too much of a split. So I've kind of done it this way. Or actually, what we need to do is because we don't isolate ourselves from the world. You know, we're in the world, but we're also in the kingdom of God. So what we need to do is make sure that our view of the world and our thoughts of the world are through the lens of the kingdom of God. And that means including through the lens of the Bible. So that means if you get it the right way around, we can look at a broken world and we can look at broken people and we can understand it in the context of what the Bible and the kingdom of God says about it. So we know why it's broken. And we know what the answer is, so we can understand and we can see it. The danger is if you flip those two the other way around, so if you had the world giving you a view of God, if you've got a broken glass, you know this, if you try and see out of a broken glass or a broken mirror, the view is distorted. So if you get it the wrong way round, you think God's broken or how does this fit? So getting this the right way round is really, really important. So that's why that need for transformation is there, because we're in the world, but we want to make sure that it's not the world's values, what it's saying to us, is what's primarily affecting our minds. We look at the world, but we filter it and we make sense of it and we think about it in the context of the kingdom of God and through God's word. So just to show that I've not made that up, there's a passage that would be very familiar with people. For some folks, maybe not for others. So this is from Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So this is this concept that we need to have our minds transformed from living and being born in this world into the kingdom, where we see the world and God in that sense. And that's a work of the Holy Spirit, and the Bible and Scripture is vital in doing that. So in Luke 11:34, it talks about the importance of being conscious of what we look at and the effects that that can have on us. There's a similar passage in Matthew, but this is a slightly longer one in Luke. So Luke 11:34 says, "Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body is also full of light. But when they're unhealthy, your body is also full of darkness. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark. It will be just full of light as when a lamp shines its light on you." So interesting you were saying about the darkness and the light that Bonhoeffer talked about. And as we experience, you know, there's the world talks about darkness and the kingdom of God is light. So making sure that we're consuming things, healthy things, is super, super important. So there is a sense in which we do therefore need to maybe stop doing things. So this is one of Jesus's statements, and it's sort of hyperbole. So we don't want anyone literally going out and doing this one, okay? So it says, "If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better that you lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell." So this is, you know, that challenge. If there's things that we are watching, that we're listening to, situations that we're in, things that we're doing that are causing you to not follow God completely, then we do have to remove that from our lives. Whatever that is, you know, turn it off, shut it down, you know, move away from something. So there's some stuff that we do have to do. So that's the first challenge for us to do. But then some stuff we do want to do to replace that, or to make sure that, you know, we're not stumbling in those situations, that we're able to deal with maybe those things that challenged us in the past so that we can be protected from them. So this is Paul writing to the Colossians. It says, "Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Put to death, therefore, what belongs to your earthly nature." So that's making sure we kill off all those temptations or are able to deal with them. But then a little bit later on it says, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, through hymns and songs from the Spirit. And then whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give thanks to God the Father through him." So letting the message of Christ dwell in us. So that's the Bible, making sure that that's very much living within us. And we use that, you know, to teach ourselves and one another, it talks about. So it's like a communal thing as well as a single thing. And, you know, it's talking about the Psalms, because obviously a lot of what they were talking about was referring to the Old Testament. Hymns, you know, so the songs that we were singing this morning, when I was chatting to Val, it was very much, you know, let's have songs that have got Scripture in. You know, and you picked up on it when we sing songs, you know, where have I read that in the Bible? You know, what is that biblical truth that's telling to me? Is super, super important. I know, you know, the sort of the worship team are sort of keen on making sure that it's sort of scripturally based. You know, those songs, when you're singing Scripture, is really, really helpful. But also then it starts getting onto the purpose. Why is it that we need to be transformed? So obviously it's for ourselves, but as I said, it's not just what stays in our brain. It's all about then how we work that out in the world. So that the transformation is very much for a purpose in ourselves, but also some things externally as well. So we need to train our minds by, like I say, immersing it in the scripture, and there's various ways to do that. We'll look at that in a bit. But this is a really good way of thinking about things, you know, if your mind's wandering around. So again, in Philippians, Paul writes in chapter 4, verse 8, he says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice." So there's the two things there again. So our minds do wander, don't they? Well, mine does. I don't know about anybody else's. It can wander off, and like you say, you know, you can start thinking about things that maybe you shouldn't do, or you know, you're worrying about stuff and all that kind of thing. You know, when you catch yourself doing that, bring yourself back to the truth of Scripture. Like we had that time where we were kind of ministering to each other there, you know, recognizing that we draw close to God, He will draw close to us. You know, knowing that and reminding ourselves and setting our minds on that is just super, super important. But again, it's so that we can put it into practice. And I'm sure some of you might be wondering when this one was going to come out. It's a very famous scripture which talks about scripture. So in 2 Timothy 3:16, it reminds us that all scripture is God breathed. So God's worked in the lives of normal human beings to bring out all the truths about Himself, the gospel, and Jesus, and all those things that we need to live a godly life. So all scripture is God breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, we don't like that one, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be fully equipped for every good work. So there it is again, you know, constantly transformation for us, but so that we can then work that out in the world. So I talked about the transformation. There's a couple of things as well within the life of a disciple that I just want to also talk about the importance of Scripture. And one of them is evangelism, or sharing the gospel with others. So Romans 10:13, great statement. "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Bang, you know, it's a real nice, simple gospel message then. But then it says, "How can they then call on the name of the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent?" And then there's this great encouragement, "As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." So we are sent as well. If you remember the Great Commission, as Christians we're called to go. We're called to then preach, proclaim, so that people can hear, so that people can believe, and so that they can then call on the name of the Lord, call on Jesus. So we need to know what the gospel is. We need to know what the message of God is, as opposed to just, it's nice being a Christian. You know, that's not the gospel. We need to be able to articulate the truths of the faith in simple ways. You don't have to have a PhD to be able to do this. As well as straight evangelism, there is also an overlap with a thing called apologetics, or just the ability to be able to explain or defend, in some sense, the Christian message. Why is it we believe what we believe? You know, so we live amongst atheists, we live amongst Muslims, people of other faith, you know, people of none. We need to be able to articulate what it is that we believe and why it is we believe it. So Peter, in his letter, in 1 Peter 3:25, he says, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." And that's really important as well. You know, we don't want to use Scripture as a way of bashing people. You know, if the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons, you know, come around, we want to be able to explain what we believe from the Bible, but with gentleness and respect. In some ways, that gentleness and respect can be more important than what we say, the way that we say it. So that's really important. So just a couple of examples of how those are sort of lived out. So in Acts, so this is obviously the story of the immediate growth of the church after Jesus is returned. And this is in Acts chapter 17, and it starts at verse 1. So this is where Paul was on his missionary trips. And it says here that when Paul and his companions had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessaloniki, or Thessalonica, sorry, as it's called then, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. "This Jesus I proclaim to you is the Messiah," he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded, so there's no guarantees in this. You know, even Paul and Jesus, not everybody accepted their message, but we're only called to proclaim, not to convert people. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas. See if the J's there. Yeah, good. Yeah, joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. So that was his habit. And again, similarly in Berea, so a little bit further down in verse 7 of chapter 17. As soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now, the Berean Jews were more noble character than those in Thessalonica. Okay, they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see what Paul said was true. As a result, many of them believed, and also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. So, you know, being able to speak to people about the Bible, quite a lot of people of other faiths maybe do have a place where they respect it, so it gives you, you know, permission to do that. But it was from the Bible that Paul preached and he reasoned, and we need to be able to do that in our own way, okay, at our own level. Like I say, we don't need to know everything, but we do need to know, you know, just some things that we can explain. And then the third thing, just in the life of a disciple as well, is around the practice of spiritual warfare. So this isn't something that's for super Christians and, you know, exercising demons and all this kind of stuff. This is just another reality of the world that we live in. And that, you know, spiritual battles are something that we will all face, not necessarily day to day, but certainly as a thing through our lives. So Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." So we need something to be able to fight back against the enemy. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And there's a whole list of armor, but one of them is, so it talks about, "Take up the helmet of salvation," so this is in verse 17, "and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So we need to know the word of God as part of our way of resisting the lies that Satan tells us. So, you know, that's it. He's a father of lies. So he will come and say things to us. And the way to counter that is with the word of God, with scripture. And we saw that and we read that in Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. And this is actually, I think it's the third time that this passage has come up over the last few talks. So when we were talking about fasting, we talked about Jesus in the wilderness. When we talked about solitude, we talked about Jesus in the wilderness, and this one to do with scripture is valid as well. So that's just that reminder that all these practices and things that we're talking about, they're not separate. All these things are all part of our Christian walk all of the time. So we can just see how Jesus himself, when he was met by Satan, how he countered that attack. So it says, "The tempter came to him and said, 'If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' Jesus answered him, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point in the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written. So Satan can use scripture himself, try and twist it and misuse it. So that's an interesting thing to remember. He will command his angels concerning you, and they will give you up in their hands, lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. But again, Jesus comes back at him with scripture. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor. All this I'll give you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. How did Jesus counter him? Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So the devil left him and angels came and attended him. So having scripture is that way that you can, you know, get rid of those lies of the enemy. You know, you're not worth it. You're a sinner. You can't be saved. No, I've called on the name of the Lord. I will be saved. I am saved. Counter it with the word of truth. Okay, so let's now come to just some practical bits. So just some top tips. Like I say, this is not exhaustive. These are just some things that I've thought or read or come about. So the first thing is to just prepare yourself before you read. You know, if you get that, just that chance, just to, like I say, nothing wrong with diving straight in, but if you get that chance, just pray and invite the Holy Spirit to come in to speak to you. And humility. So remember, we are the one that's the disciple. God is the one that's teaching. So come to it prayerfully and in humility. And you can do it alone, or you can do it in groups. And there's absolutely loads of ways of accessing your Bible. Obviously, just reading your Bible is super important. And everything else that we read, we always need to come back and check it aligns with scripture. So there's things like the word for the day is really good. Someone buys us every year a calendar with scripture on that we read that in the morning. I know some folks like the lectio as well, so there's some stuff you can do that. There's loads of reading plans out there that can just help you, because I know some people aren't big readers, so having some of this other material, and some of it is also available on like audiobooks and podcasts. Or even some of the Bible apps will just play a scripture to you as well. If you find reading difficult, you know, if you've got dyslexia or things like that, you can access it in many ways. Christian books are good, so commentaries are good. You know, we talked about Bonhoeffer's books as well being good. But always, you know, always take the time to sort of just think, where does it say that in the Bible? Quite often, Christian books might have a reference in. It's very tempting just to read past the references and then go on and carry on reading the book. I always like to try and take that time out. Right, I'd go and look that up in the scriptures just to make sure that what it's saying is what it's saying. And it's that scripture piece, which is the foundation of what I'm taking on board. Whereas the commentary or the other book may just be something that's around that. Lots of really good online stuff. I think in the podcast for Practicing the Way, they talk about the Bible Project, which is really, really good. But there's loads of good stuff that you can access as well. And then you can do, you know, formal study if you want to do that. That's really, really good. You know, right the way up to doing a PhD, for instance. You know, so there's a whole realm of things that are accessible to everybody, depending where you are and where you want to go on your walking, just how your mind works and all that kind of thing. Places, like say you can do it on your own. Sunday mornings, so this is a way of accessing scripture and taking things on board. Your small groups, again, you can talk about this or other Bible studies. Bible weeks, new wine, spring harvest. And again, just another thing is the Alpha course is really good. You know, so for again those people that are starting off, maybe they know something, maybe they're a bit curious. It's a really good place to go and just do some of those foundational beliefs in the Christian walk and do that. Just some other principles I would say is, I can't remember who it was who mentioned this, that sometimes I like to read it and then read it again. So if you've got time, read it once, then maybe come back and read it again. And then are there any key words? So you can see what I like to do. So I like to highlight those key words and phrases, structure. So, you know, some of those Bible passages I lay out in a very structural way. And again, are there any jump out things that you might read it? You might have read it a million times before and skirted over something, but is there something that kind of jumps out to you? Is God saying something in this scripture that is relevant for you at that time, or something you've missed before? And then just some practical things. What's the genre of the book? You know, is it Psalms? So therefore, it's poetry. Is it history? Is it narrative? Is it more theological, like, you know, Hebrews or Romans? So what's the genre of the material? What's the author's intent? So what's he trying to say? What's the context that it's being written in, or that passage itself, its wider one? So, you know, it's like the calendar that we've got is very good. It's got a single verse, but it's good then to just double check. What's the context that that's being said in, so that we're making sure that we're applying it correctly? What did it mean to the original audience? So, you know, that first century Roman occupied Israel for the New Testament, you know, and then you've got the whole history of the Old Testament in lots of very, very different situations. So what did it mean to them, so that we can then think about what's the principles that are within that, and how does that then apply to me? So just a few things there. So I'm going to leave it. I'm just going to put up one final verse from James 1:22. I'm not saying going to read it all out, but again, just this importance of not just listening or reading the word, really take it on board. Let the Holy Spirit just minister to you through his word. And then what is it that he's calling you to do? You know, put it into practice, and then it will be blessed. So, you know, people will come to faith. You will become more like Christ day by day. You know, you'll be able to deal with those things that have been in your life. You know, whether they're, you know, habits, unhealthy habits, whatever it is, or just being transformed into the master, which is what discipleship's about, isn't it? Is to become like the master, the teacher. So, I'll leave it there. Just again, with that encouragement, just to really engage and fall in love with God's word and allow him to speak to you through it. So I'll pray, and then I'll hand back to Nikki and the group. Father, I just thank you so much for your word. Lord, I just thank you for your Holy Spirit that's brought the word together, that, Lord, that's accessible to us today. And for I just thank you that you speak to us today through it, that by your Holy Spirit you do bring those things to our memory, Lord, whether we're just dwelling on them and meditating, whether we're learning them so that we can refute the enemy, Lord, whether we're speaking and sharing the great news of your gospel. Father, I just pray that you would help us just to engage and enjoy and just see you work in and through us and in the world and the place that you put us. In Jesus' name, amen.